Good, welcome to the lecture on compact star physics. The last time we started to discuss the properties of white dwarfs. So we were looking at the equation of hydrostatic equilibrium and discussed polytropes and the mass radius relation for polytropes. And we found somehow that we have certain limits. So as a summary of the last lecture, we have the following mass radius diagram. So I plot the total mass over the total radius for different polytropes. So we had gamma equal 5/3. We saw that the mass is proportional to 1 over r cubed. We had a solution that gamma is equal to 2. Then the mass, then the radius is constant. And then we also had here gamma is equal 4/3. Then the mass is constant. And the mass being constant, this will be then just the Chandrasekhar limiting mass for white dwarfs. We also had discussed other values larger than 2. So if gamma is larger than 2, you see the slope goes from 4/3, which is flat, to 1 over r cubed, to r being constant. And now it starts to turn the other way around. So if I have gamma equal infinity, we wind up with a star which here gamma goes to infinity, where the mass is proportional to r cubed, meaning that m over r cubed is a constant. So this has a constant density. It's an incompressible matter. Right? And the equation we had was that the mass to the power of 2 minus gamma times the radius of 3 gamma minus 4 is a constant from hydrostatic equilibrium. Right? That's what we had. So, what we're going to do now is we're going to discuss this now in terms really of the full differential equation. And the full differential equation for white dwarfs is called the Lane-Emden equation. Are there any, before we start, are there any questions to last lecture? So, Lane-Emden goes back to Lane and Emden, who derived those equations in the 19th century. So ages ago, discussing spheres of fluids non-relativistically for a polytropic equation of state. So we're looking at a full solution, so the full differential equation for hydrostatic equilibrium was dP of R over dr is equal minus g rho of r over r squared times the mass contained within the sphere of radius r, and that mass is 4 pi integral from 0 to r dr prime, r prime squared, rho of r prime. Yeah, this was just the mass m contained within the radius r. Okay? Good. So this is an integral differential equation. We can rewrite that integral differential equation, making one full differential equation out of it. So we can rewrite this in the following way, d over dr of, and I put everything here to the other side. So this is so what I'm doing now is I put everything of that to the other side and then take the derivative of the full equation. So I take the derivative of this equation to get rid of this integral over here. Putting this to the side, I have here then an r squared over rho of r dp of r over dr is equal. Is equal minus g, and that integral collapses to a 4 pi r squared, 4 pi r squared rho of r. Right? Okay? Good. Now I can put also the r squared to the other side. So finally I have the equation like that, 1 over r squared, d over dr of r squared rho of r. And that I can actually write in a different form. I can write as an r squared d phi of r, some other function I introduce now, dr is minus 4 pi g rho of r. Yeah, I'm just relabeling now a combination of pressure and mass density into this new potential phi, where now d phi of r over dr is just 1 over rho of r dp of r over dr. But this is just that phi is just the gravitational potential. What I've written down is just basically the equation of hydrostatic equilibrium rightly recast in a form where I say the pressure gradient over the mass density is just the gradient of the gravitational potential, which is g over r squared times the mass contained within radius r. The potential goes like 1 over r. Gm over r is the gravitational potential. The derivative of this one is then minus gm over r squared. So this is just recasting the equation of hydrostatic equilibrium. This is the gravitational potential. Gravitational potential. And what we have here is then simply a Laplace equation. Laplace equation in spherical coordinates, but it basically is just the Laplace operator. So this is the NAPLA. Phi of r is equal minus 4 pi g of rho of r. Right? This is just the equation of Newtonian mechanics. Now in this differential notation, not integral notation. And this is exactly what we have here. This expression here, 1 over r squared d over dr of r squared times this one, this is just the Laplace operator in spherical coordinates. Good. Okay, this was basically just a side remark. So going back to this equation now, we introduce now dimensionless quantities. So we say now the radius r is defined as some factor, some dimensionless quantity psi times some characteristic radius RC. So where Psi is dimensionless. And RC is a characteristic radius. So our active variable is now this dimensionless parameter. So we vary this dimensionless parameter when we go from the center of the star to the surface of the star. Xi changes, and xi is just a multiple of some characteristic radius. That's all we're doing here. Yeah. Good, so let's plug in this dimensionless coordinate and use a polytropic equation of state. So we say that the pressure is k prime times the mass density to the power of gamma. And we find the following for our hydrostatic equation. This is a k prime gamma. This is the So we have to take the derivative with respect to r and then divide by rho. So we get an rc squared, xi squared in front. We get a d over d xi. And we get a xi squared here. And now a rho to the power of gamma minus 2. D rho over d psi, and that is equal minus 4 pi g times rho. Right, so if we take the derivative with respect to p, we get the derivative with respect to the mass density rho, this appears here. We get a, we divide by rho, and therefore we get a gamma minus 2 in addition here, not only gamma minus 1, and the factor here comes from the derivative of this one. Good, and then you just have to watch out here for this dr here, and 1 over r squared gives in total then a xi squared here in the brackets. That's it. So now we can introduce a new variable. We can simplify that expression in the brackets. By introducing a new quantity, by rescaling the mass density. So now we say that the mass density, rho, is some factor times some characteristic mass density. And that factor we denote as theta. And that theta shall have a power of n. Yeah. And that power of n shall be just 1 over gamma minus 1. And n is now the polytropic index. N. Yeah, and if we do this, then we get the following expression. We get k prime. We get an n plus 1. We get rho c to the power of 1 over n minus 1 divided by 4 pi g. We get an rc squared and a xi squared. And we get a d over d xi of xi squared d theta over d xi. Yeah, by cleverly recasting it in this form, we get rid basically we get rid of this prefactor rho to the power of gamma minus 2. And on the right hand side, we simply have then this is minus theta to the power of n. This goes like rho over rho c. Now we just divided that equation by rho c. Oh, because, yeah, I want to distinguish it from the other usual polytropic equation of state where k goes like the number density to the power of gamma. So that k prime is just this k divided by m to the power of gamma. Yeah, it's just some reshuffling of those things here, so we get this expression
it's still,
here.
It's still the derivative with respect to xi from xi.
This is with respect
theta,
to xi, yeah.
But with theta to the power of n, because...
Then we get down an n, and with the other b factors here, we get... Somehow it turns out at the end of the day,
yeah,
we get
yeah,
an
yeah,
n plus
yeah,
1.
Yeah,
okay. So this part looks nice. This part doesn't look so nice, so we want to get rid of it. So let's get rid of this ugly part. And we get rid of this ugly part by defining now our dimensionful quantities. This is what we did when we rescaled the TOF equation. We somehow then choose our characteristic dimensionful quantities so that we get rid of all dimensionful quantities. So the only dimensionful quantities we have are in here, basically here, right? So this part here. So the combination is dimensionless. And we can choose now the characteristic radius RC so that this is basically gone. So choose basically RC being equal. Two, we define it as k prime n plus 1 rho central to the power 1 n minus 1 over 4 pi g 2½. There should be no chi squared here. It's a mistake. Okay, so then finally the equation we get is 1 over xi squared d over d xi of xi squared d theta over d xi is equal minus theta to the power of n. And this is the famous Lane-Emden equation. Okay, any questions so far on the derivation of the Lane-Emden equation? Good. We have not defined yet the critical mass density. Later on, this turns out to be just the mass density at the center of the star, so for r equals 0. So we can choose this one, actually, so that we can say, basically, that theta is equal 1 at the surface of the star, so for example. Theta is 1 at the center of the star, this way. And then rho is rho c. So we can normalize theta, and then we can just define and say that this is the central mass density. Yeah. So we get a full set of solutions, a full set of solutions by varying now the central mass density. But it doesn't appear in that one. So the solution only depends on the polytropic index n. Yeah, so we can give solutions as a function of n for the Leyden-Emden equation. And this has been done already 100 years ago. They did numerically solve that differential equation for different values of n, and then made tables of the numerical values. And Chandrasekhar had such a table with him when he was traveling from India to Great Britain by solving the Leyden-Emden equation for a relativistic gas of electrons. Then you can already imagine what is happening. You just have to choose the right polytropic index to get gamma equal 4/3, the Chandrasekhar mass limit. This is 4/3 minus 1, it's 1/3. So n equals 3. N equals 3 is the polytropic index, which gives you then the Chandrasekhar limiting mass. So let's look at some solutions before we're doing this. There are some analytic solutions known, and we can discuss them now. So we need to specify some boundary conditions. So we say that at the surface of the sphere, theta, and I put in a label n in, this is the solution for a given polytropic index. Theta n, when xi is equal xi n is the solution for the radius, shall vanish. Yeah. So this means basically rho vanishes at r, at the radius r, at the surface of the star. This is what it means. Yeah. Because I'm labeling the solution according to the polytropic index. The second thing we do is that we choose theta prime, which is d theta of over d xi, not d theta, for the value that xi is equal to 0. So that means in the core of the star, this shall vanish. And this you can motivate by looking at the equation of state for hydrostatic equilibrium, 1.3. That if you look at the pressure gradient, this basically means we have the mass gradient or the pressure gradient, that this really goes to 0. We will have this as one of our exercises to show that this makes sense. So from hydrostatic equilibrium. Good, so we have two boundary conditions. This is a differential equation of second order, so everything works fine. We just define that we normalized also that theta of r equals 0 is equal 1. This basically means rho is equal rho c for r equals 0. Right? This is what it means. This is just some normalization. It's not really a boundary condition. And then we can look at solutions. And there are three analytic solutions known. One is for n equals 0. Then basically this would be a source-free term, a free term. N equals 0 would mean the right-hand side is 0. And the solution is that theta 0 of xi is equal 1 minus xi squared over 6. And the radius of the star, where basically where this is where this function gets 0. This defines the radius of the star. Xi 0 is equal, of course, square root of 6. At this value, theta goes to 0. Right? Okay. So what does it mean if n goes to 0? This basically means that gamma goes to infinity. This is the case for gamma goes to infinity for incompressible fluid. Yeah, so for an incompressible fluid, we can now compute immediately what the masses and the radius are. The next analytic known solution is for n equal 1. N equal 1 means, I have to also write down the definition in the other way around. Gamma is 1 plus 1 over n. So if n is equal to 1, gamma is 2. Right. This is interesting. We know this is one we get when we have interactions. So gamma is equal to 2. So then theta 1 of xi is given by sine xi over xi, and 0 is reached for xi 1 is equal to pi. And the last one we have is n equal 5. N equal 5 is 1 plus 1 over 5. So this is, I didn't write it down. Gamma is 6 over 5. Now we know that this probably is an unstable solution. If gamma is just 6 over 5. But nevertheless, we can give some analytic solution for that function. This is given by 1 over 1 plus xi squared over 3 to the power of a half. And the radius xi 5 actually goes to infinity. So this is an infinite sphere of matter. You never really reach the point where the density vanishes. It continues and continues. There's a halo going to infinity with very low densities. Right. So already, it's clear that this somehow is also the limiting case, n equal 5. And also, when we have incompressible fluid, then n equals 0 is also then the other limit in the other way. So all physical solutions are between 0 and 5. And the one which are specifically interesting for us are, of course, gamma is equal to 4/3. There is n is equal to 3. And if gamma is 5/3, then n is equal to 3/2. But unfortunately, for those two cases, we don't have analytic solutions. But we know the numerical values quite precisely. One can easily solve this on a smartphone. One can find then the values for the solution that let's write down the one for xi n is equal to 3/2 is equal 3.65375. and xi of 3 is equal 6.89685.
Good.
Okay, any questions to this? Yeah.
Is there a physical meaning behind R critical?
Is there a physical meaning behind R critical? So this is a characteristic radius.
Yes.
Physical meaning. What is the characteristic radius? What is entering here actually is a combination of the mass and the Planck scale. And if you put in actually the masses back, you can express this as a function of number densities. The k prime we had written down before was something like the ordinary k over m to the power of gamma. So if you plug in numbers, you will see that here modulo factors of 4 pi, you will get out actually the Landau mass, the Landau radius. That's the characteristic scale. So that's the meaning behind it. If you plug in here the Planck mass, here the mass of the particle which contributes to the mass. Actually, you have to be careful here. One has to introduce actually the mass of the particle, and for the k prime, the mass of the particle which makes the whole thing massive, and here in k prime one has to introduce the mass which contributes to the pressure. So you will get a combination of the electron mass and the proton mass, and then you will see this is just the Landau mass for white dwarfs we derived in the last chapter. Yeah. Nice exercise. Good. Any other question? So now we come to the Chandrasekhar mass. So let's go back to physical quantities. So we look at the radius R. The radius R is the solution for a given index n times this critical radius. So this is xi n, which is a numerical factor, k prime n plus 1 divided by 4 pi g to the power of 1/2 times times the central density to the power of minus 1 minus n over 2n. So I put in basically back the definition I had here. And I recasted this one. This here. This is 1 over n minus 1 to a half is just this expression here. Okay, simply slightly rewritten. Yeah, so if we have for a given central density, this is now our parameter. When we go through the mass radius relation, we just change now the central density, central mass density. And then we get different radii. And the same we can do for the mass. The mass is given by the integral 4 pi times dr from 0 to r of r squared the rho of r. And that we can rewrite by using the definition of theta. This is a 4 pi times r the solution to the polytropic index n cubed times the central density rho c, which is a constant. And we integrate now from 0 to xi n d xi squared times theta of xi to the power of n. Now this is just the definition here. Theta was rho over rho c, so rho c times theta is just the rho we had before. Yeah, and the rn comes in by resubstituting for r that it is equal to the critical radius rc. Yeah. But now it is really the solution rc for a given polytropic index n, so I put down an n here. In principle, I could also write down, did I write an n? This is RC for a given polytropic index n. This is the total mass m. Okay, so we need to integrate this one either numerically or we simply rewrite this term in the following form, that for theta of n we can just use the Lane-Emden equation. So xi squared times theta to the power of n is just this total derivative here. Okay. So this is a 4 pi rc n cubed, central density rho c, integral from 0 to xi n of d xi. And now we put in the Lane-Emden equation, which is d over d xi, xi squared, d theta over d xi. Okay, so in principle I can cross this out, and this is the integral, and this is the total differential. So this I can also cross out basically, right? And then I get just the value of this one at the radius xi n. So this is a 4 pi rc n cubed rho c times xi n squared. The solution at the boundary is just xi n squared. And what I need is the derivative of the density at the radius when xi is equal to xi n.
Pardon me? There is a minus sign, minus theta to the power of n.
Oh, there's a minus sign,
and
yes.
Yes,
there's a minus sign. Yeah, you're right. Here comes a minus sign in here also. There's a minus sign. Yep, thanks. Of course, the negative mass doesn't make sense. What is going to happen is that this derivative has to be negative, which makes sense. So the density goes down to zero from above. So the slope is, of course, always negative. Yeah, that is a negative number here. That kills that minus sign over here. So that's now I can plug in also the expression for this radius here. So finally, I get At the end of the day, it's a minus 4 pi k prime n plus 1 2 over 4 pi g to the power of 3 halves. And this is a psi n squared times, I call this now, this derivative, the theta prime of psi n, this derivative here, times the critical density to the power of 3 minus n over 2n. Yeah, I get also an additional dependence on the central mass density here from the radius rc cubed, which finally then, if you plug in the correct powers, is just 3 minus n over 2n. Okay, so everything is well determined. We have the mass here. This is our final expression for the mass. And we have the radius up here. Right. So we can calculate now the mass radius relation of white dwarfs. We have basically an analytic solution, semi-analytic. The only thing we need to know is psi n. And this combination here, psi n squared theta prime. So psi n I have already given. What I need to give you now is also the numerical values for this one. And that is what is usually also given in the tables. Not the derivative itself, but a combination of psi n squared times theta prime. Anybody has been doing programming? In terms of programming, and if you want, you can program that equation or solve it numerically by using the Euler method or Runge-Kutta method. And it turns out the whole thing is much easier to solve numerically if you don't look for the combination of, if you put this one, psi squared, to the other side of the equation and you solve actually for a combination of psi n squared times theta n. Gives you better conversions. So that value can be even more precisely, can be computed more precisely than the other values. Yeah, this is the one we just had. This is the combination basically we have in brackets here, right? Disappears there again. Okay, so what is this value? So we need psi 3 squared theta prime of psi 3. So for n equal 3, this is 2.01824. And psi of 3 half squared times theta prime of psi 3 halves is then equal 2.71406. Good, so for these n values, we can compute immediately the mass radius relation. So, one last thing is, one last thing, and then I stop, is we can combine these two equations now. We can get rid of the central density and look at the mass radius relation. Right, so I can insert that critical density over here, and then I just get a combination of mass and radius is given in terms of several constants, numerical coefficients and constants. Let's do this. So then we get that m to the power of n minus 1 times the radius to the power of 3 minus n is given by constants. I don't write down the constants, but basically it gives many, many constants. Yeah. Here we have a 1 minus n over here for the radius. Here we have a 3 minus n. So then we have this kind of mass radius relation for a given n. We can recast this now in terms of gamma. In terms of gamma. And And then we see that m to the power of 2 minus gamma times the radius to the power of 3 gamma minus 4 is equal to constant. Surprise! We get the same mass radius relation we just have derived with much simpler methods, but just looking at the equation of hydrostatic equilibrium, doing very naive dimensionless analysis, what we did last Tuesday. Or we can solve the Lane Emden equation. You see many, many formulae, but at the end of the day, we have exactly the same mass radius relation for polytropes we had before. Right? So then the success of Chandrasekhar was to see that for for gamma equal 4/3, which is n equal 3, one gets then that m is equal to m Chandra is equal constant. The advantage, of course, now is that we can compute that coefficient precisely. Before that, we just knew we get some numbers, and we can get an order of magnitude estimate, but we don't get a precise numerical value. And the precise numerical value we now have at hand here with those values, and we just plug in our polytropic equation of state for white dwarf material, and then we find that the Chandrasekhar mass is then given by ...1.456 solar masses times 2 set over A squared. And I have given this in units of the atomic mass unit mu over the mass of the nucleus over A squared. Yeah. So usually these factors are 1. C over A is 1/2, so this gives 1. Usually, this also is 1. Atomic mass unit is basically the unit we have in all nuclei. It's about the same, just some small changes. So the Chandrasekhar limiting mass is 1.456 solar masses. Good. So finally, we derive the Chandrasekhar limiting mass and have computed the precise numerical factors by solving the Lane-Emden equation. That's exactly what one has to do, right? So one principle, what one does is that you can, if you choose n equal 3, you see that the dependence on rho c drops out here. Rho c drops out. And then you just compute these numerical prefactors, and this gives you the Chandrasekhar limiting mass over here. Yeah, the same. You get a constant radius, you see also immediately that we get a constant radius for n equal 1. Then we get a constant radius. This is just the interaction-dominated case. So I conclude my lecture for today, and then I wish you Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. See you then next year.